This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Good morning. It's Saturday morning at 7 a.m. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. You're tuned in to AM 970 The Apple, Talk Radio New York. On the show, we talk about preparedness when disasters and emergencies strike or enter your world, enter your life, whether it's personally, professionally, or regionally, or your neighborhood. I bring on numerous guests in particular fields of response of emergencies, whether it's fabrics and clothing, or it's generators, or if it's on a statewide situation of grabbing information off of websites and what to do in case something happens. And why be prepared? Listen, in the last dozen years, we've had major events in our country that we didn't have any control over. And a lot of it was us being caught short on being prepared, and we have massive amounts of people without your essentials, breakdown of social services and things like that. Again, this is not a doomsday program. I'm not about that. What I'm about is about just being prepared, because I deal with emergencies and disasters on a daily basis. And when I enter your life, something obviously went bad, whether it's flooding or fires and smoke damage, or even cars and trucks and impacts into buildings and things like that. Very few disasters I haven't seen. I don't like to see them, but it is a profession I chose. I enjoy it. It's gratifying. I like to help out people. Get that, like I always say, get that little bit of the Boy Scout in me. Why be prepared? Simply like anything else. If you're going to take a test, you should be prepared. You should do your studying. Being prepared for an emergency or disaster that might enter your world, to have the waters and clothing and medicine. Those are important. But I always say refer to my website. It's a little more detailed about these issues of what happens. Well, it's not always been my attitude or choice to focus on the inappropriate, negative, and the downside of society. Being prepared is going to be a major part of your battle when something goes wrong in your world. When I was talking about clothing and medicines and financial papers or possibly having cash on hand, these things are on my website. It's I just keep on doing the broken record thing, because in reality, there's a lot of unforeseen things that you think you're taking care of your property. Listen, we live in a neighborhood, or a region, I should say, that has new construction, but most of it's old construction. So wiring and old pipes and plumbing and also multi-dwelling buildings, you don't have control of, say, the person above you. So if they're not responsible in maintaining their utilities, and if the bathroom overflows, they have a little water on their floor, but you're actually going to see the brunt of the damage. So when things like that happen, what do you do? You got to make the certain phone calls. Obviously calling management, calling your insurance company, the broker or the agent, or the company itself, direct lines, those claims center on 1-800-9s. So being prepared is something we stress very, very strongly on the program. And I bring in guests from various fields of restoration of the emergencies of clothing and generators. Also, I had the New Jersey Office of Emergency Management. We have Nick Morasi here a couple of weeks ago. That's more on a statewide, but it trickles down, because the state sets protocols, and then the counties adhere to those protocols, and then the municipalities adhere to those protocols. So it kind of brings it down to a smaller palatable intake, if you will, because we don't want to think about tunnels and bridges like the way the state is. They centralize. The state is cut in three sections of, if you remember hearing Nick talk about that, the north and then the mid, and then there's the south. And he was also talking about, about being prepared. So Nick was mentioning the websites. Now, the websites have a lot of information on it. Go to the, ready.gov. So when you go to visit their ready.gov's websites, it gives you a more defined, easier path to adhere to and to follow. I say prepared, I guess, as much as Vanna White collapsed on that program. Let's call it what it is. You need to invest time and money for preparedness. It's generally not a comfortable or sometimes can be a controversial type of issue, but it's not going to go away. And percentages are against us. We're human beings. We have things. We have vehicles. We have homes. We have businesses. And people interact on a daily basis. Things will just eventually going to happen. And hopefully they don't. But if they do happen, you know that you did your due diligence of being having these preparedness tools and kits already in place, because there's the natural disasters, there's even political and economic situations that are beyond our control that would affect our daily lives, disrupting of going to work, say, with the trains, the Metro North or the PATH, and how do we go about that? Then you're working from home and even having, your computer, make sure that's all up and running, because at the end of the day, we have to pay our bills, so going to work physically or working remotely, that should also be part of a situation where you're prepared for. But there's a lot of resources out there, a lot of websites, but the basics, your foods and your waters, those are the things you have total control of, with batteries and flashlights. This past week, now we get the full classification of it was a tornado that hit the region. It was about a 48-hour hiatus of just wind damage, because in the insurance world, they interpret it two different ways. But since there was the National Weather Service declared it a tornado, there's a lot more people are sighing of relief, because now some of their damage is covered. I was out in Brooklyn, had about a half a dozen homes with tree damage and wind damage, and but I actually got out there the day after, and they still had actually not classified it. Now, I'm not a professional policy reader, but I know there's some gray areas along those lines of what's covered. Is there a rider with wind? But now that there is a classification as a tornado, the state could lean on funds along those lines. And I was when I was talking a couple of weeks ago about, your government taking care of you, FEMA is FEMA's got to classify Brooklyn. I think it's $25 million of damage to release funds, and how long is that ball going to take to start rolling, and civilians going to start seeing dollars from that, contacting your insurance company regarding that and seeing what the verbiage in your policy reads and see if you're covered. It's almost a week later actually. But we've had some coverage issues out there, trying to educate the people on what they should be asking their brokers and their management companies, because they're insured by people. Again, those multi-dwelling buildings, they were asking me to ask the brokers and the carriers. It's just about, what am I covered for? Kevin and I were talking about it last week, but last week Kevin Tiederman from Premier Drying Solutions, we talked about, people don't revisit their policies. Maybe once every 10 years, and then something like this happens, say, oh my God, I'm not covered. So again, that is that preparedness. Just because it's not water, it's not food, it's not a physical, tangible thing, having that information is key. And a couple of people I spoke to over the last week they didn't place a claim yet because they didn't know. It doesn't cost you anything. It's, like I said, it's responsibility of yourself to mitigate further damages. So put them on notice, get a claim number, whether you execute it or not is not important at the particular time. When it comes to your property, what do you expect when a time of a loss, a hurricane, or now we just classified as a tornado, a fire, a flood, a water, what happens after the dust settles? This so-called aftermath shock, okay, it happened, now what? So you're in a state of panic, if you will. Insurance policyholders can mitigate that shock, gain some, mental, emotional preparedness, get their feet on the ground, get the proverbial tools in order. Listen, your insurance company and your broker / agent would love for you to call them up and say, listen, let's take a look at my policy. I want to see what I'm covered and what I'm not covered for. And you know what? They might generate more money, more higher premiums. But you know what? Less anxiety of the guesswork when something does happen for you. And you can't depend on FEMA or the city. I mean, I saw the Con Ed guys were cutting up trees. The fire department was cutting up trees. They had some EMS units, some of the NYPD, they were cutting up trees. Again, they were try to do the best they can, but they can only go so far. So relying on your government to take care of your own property is really, it's just my opinion, is not the prudent thing to do. You should really be self-reliant along those lines, and you'll just get ahead of the line that much quicker, and you'll be back habitable that much quicker, or back in business generating the almighty dollar. So because we do, again, we don't have a lot of control over these disasters that affect the area, or whether it's personally or business-wise. So having said that, and having said preparedness about 50 times, it's just, it will be a never-ending cycle. You know, life is a game, if you want to equate it that way. You know, we got our favorite teams. I'm a Giants fan. You know, if you like the Jets, that's okay. We can't all be perfect. But, you know, they have a game plan. They execute it. They want to score touchdowns, or maybe they don't, like the, against the Colts. And if you just joined us, this is a Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Talk about the preparedness for disasters and emergencies that enter your life. Going to go to a station break, pays the bills, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And if you just joined us, coming back off the commercial break, this is Chris Plunkett. I'm your host of the Disaster Recovery Hour. My guest today is Gina Davis. She's a National Director of Education for Eco Le Bleu. They're an alternative water treatment product that's getting some press of late, and also with, we have some situations coming down in a couple of years, some information put out by NASA regarding some solar issues that could affect a large area of our planet, I think, right? Gina, glad to have you, and why don't we get a little background on the company, yourself, and how you got into this field.
Great. Well, thank you for having us on. We have a wonderful product, Eco Le Bleu, and what we do is we are an atmospheric water generator, and we extract pure, perfect, delicious drinking water straight from the air.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a great product. We have 30 and 30Ss, and the 30Ss provide sparkling options for sparkling water, and they're equipped with a 12-stage filtration process. They produce up to 8 gallons of water a day, and they cost about 20 cents a gallon to produce.
Really? Now, is it a, how do you go about installing the system?
Well, it'll come to your home via UPS, and all you have to do is hook it up and flush out the system, and then it'll start producing in about 24 hours. Now, actually, it makes water from the humidity in the air.
Oh, it's almost like a dehumidifier that we use in the drying field, which has the refrigerant and has a reservoir, and then after X amount of minutes or pints, I should say, it would weep out to wherever we weep it out, outside, through a drain, and so on and so forth. So it's the same premise.
Right, it is. And we don't want anybody to be confused about the water in the dehumidifier. We don't ever recommend that anyone drink that water.
No.
We have a 12-stage filtration process, but it's basically the same, but we filter out the water.
Right, so the philosophy, mechanical philosophy is the same.
Right.
So is it primarily a residential, or is it commercial, or is it a combination of both?
We do residential and commercial, and it is a hybrid unit, so if you want to connect that to your tap, you can. It will attach to any tap or spigot,
and it
will filter out unlimited water.
In the recent X amount of years, you know, the storms are getting larger, and you have larger blackouts like we had in from August 14th, a couple of years ago, was about 5 or 6 years ago, half of the East Coast was down. Then you have Katrina, so there's no drinkable water there. And the hurricanes seem to be more frequent, more severe. How does the system apply into a disaster field?
Well, we always want you to be prepared for any disaster that may come up. And if you don't have a disaster, wonderful. But if you do, you definitely want to be prepared. And with Katrina, the number one thing that everyone needed the most was potable water.
Right. So when you order this, when you go online, or we'll talk about ordering later on, but when you do eventually get it, it's a pretty simplistic for the average homeowner to set up, and the easy 1, 2, 3 type of steps?
Absolutely. Everything's already set up for you. All you have to do is just take it out of a box off of the UPS truck and plug it in.
Now, does the military use these types of devices also?
Well, I haven't had a connection at the moment, but we're hoping that we can set something up.
And also, what about the government facilities? I mean, I would imagine that would be a prime target also. Has that come into play?
Well, we definitely would recommend that they use the units, and currently I'm not sure exactly what they are using, but these units would be wonderful for them.
Now, you're based in North Carolina. Is there other facilities, or is that the headquarters, and you have annexes throughout the country?
No, actually, we're based out of Florida, and we also have an office in California.
Okay.
So North Carolina is my location.
North Carolina. Where do you actually physically make them?
In California.
Oh, in California. Okay.
Right. And then we have sales representatives all over the country that we can provide anyone with the unit.
Is it just bought purely over the Internet, or is it on the retail side yet?
No, we have, you know, the units are available on the website at thecoloblue.com.
So what about for, you know, I'm calling you and I speaking, you're in North Carolina, I'm up here in the New York City area. What would be more of applicable process and application for your product? Would it be more cities? Would it be rural? Or does it really matter?
These units can be used anywhere. They are home and office use, as well as we have industrial units for plants.
Being the National Director of Education, are there seminars, or is it we're doing basically through the electronics of Twitters and the Internet for your education?
We are in the electronic age, so everything is done electronically nowadays. We have Twitter and, of course, the Ecolo Blue website. And we also have Facebook and MySpace options, so we have a lot of social networking options, as well as an educational blog.
Well, regarding, you know, having the system up and running, is it, if there is a blackout, can it be run off a generator?
No, it absolutely can, and we also offer solar panels, so you can be completely water independent with this product.
I don't think some of the water companies are going to like that.
Right.
So with the 2012 just pretty much around the corner, with our solar, I guess, what do they call them, the solar storms coming off the sun. I guess that happens every, 70, 80, 90 years, something like that. What does that, how is that a driving force regarding your product?
Well, again, we are really concerned with preparation, and we're mostly concerned about the CMEs in 2012 because they're the first thing that's going to be affected is the electrical grid. After that, the water source. We're looking at possibly losing electrical for years.
Yeah, they were saying about that. There's some pros, and there's obviously always two sides of the story with that. So now, in your preparation for that, you're looking for, now you're stockpiling these systems in case that, you know, this is going to hit us, preparing on a whole for this to be plugged and played somewhere down the line.
Yeah, we're looking at the units can be placed with a solar panel, so that you can be completely water independent, so that if anything does happen, you may not have electricity, but you will have water. And water is, of course, the one thing that you cannot live without.
Right.
We may be able to do without electricity for a while, but we're definitely not going to be able to do without water.
So with the solar panel, so that's a product that you also produce?
That's right.
And so and that's also, every homeowner could install that, I guess, whatever situation dictates with his the amount of sun he's receiving on his roof.
Right. They're actually pretty basic to set up and to use, and they're definitely worth it to be water independent. 11 years we cycle through a solar maxima, and the maximas are when we need to pay attention, because that's where we have all of the increased activity from the sun.
So is it your understanding what will happen with this upcoming solar event? What's your opinion on that?
Well, at first, I don't think we were too concerned about it. NASA was saying, I probably don't have a lot to worry about. And I think given the 99-2000 Y2K event where we expected all of this stuff and we had all this hype, and then it fizzled and nothing happened. So now everyone's kind of got the same idea that we're going to have all of this hype and then nothing's going to happen. But I think we need to be really concerned about it, and we need to really pay attention to it.
Well, if you just join us, my guest today is Gina Davis. She's the National Director of Education for Ecolo Blue. It's a water filtration system that really extrapolates the moisture in the air and provides drinkable water. We're talking with Gina Davis. She's a National Director of Education for Ecolo Blue. It's a water filtration system. Looks like it's going to be grabbing some headway in the near future, sooner than later. It's part of the preparedness, what we always talk about on this program. Again, you know, you can have medicines and you can have clothing and you can have some spare cash, but there's one thing you're definitely going to need, and that's what the Red Cross is always telling me over there, over the internet, is you're going to need water. And this system is able to supply you a fair amount of water per day for per person, and it can handle a family of four with no problem. I don't think a family of four drinks 8 gallons of drinkable water a day. They might do laundry and showers, and that would equate to that amount. People can look you up on the internet, and also if they want to get some stuff in the mail, there's a couple of old-fashioned people out there who still like some ink and some paper in their hands. Why don't you go ahead and tell us?
Our website is ecoloblue.com, and that's ecoloblue.com. And we're also on Twitter. That's twitter.com/ecoloblue.
Okay. We're going to go to a break. This is Chris Plunkett, Disaster Recovery Hour, here at the Apple. And be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back to Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. My guest today is Gina Davis. She's National Director of Education for Ecolo Blue. Like I said before, it's a water filtration system. And Gina's their mantra is just like the show here. It's about being prepared for emergencies and disasters when they occur. So, Gina, why don't you give the listeners a rundown of what happens with these and when it happens and the severity of them, and are there stages of these solar energy little firestorms? Why don't you go ahead and tell me a little bit about that?
Okay. Actually, it does come in stages, and the first stage is the solar flares, and then the second stage is a radiation storm. We don't have very much to worry about with the radiation storm other than aircraft in the air at the time, because it produces waves, and it could knock out those planes. So they have a lot of issues there as far as being in the air. But the they just happen about 8 minutes apart from each other. And we know that solar flares strongly influence the local space weather of the Earth, and they produce streams of highly energetic particles in the solar wind, and that's what's going to affect the aircraft. But what we've seen is in 1989, Quebec was hit by a solar storm, and 6 million people were in a blackout. It only took 90 seconds for these 6 million people to lose power for 9 hours. And they said that if something equivalent to that size happened today, that we would lose power for years. But then it only took 9 hours to get up and running because their electrical grid was so small. Mm-hmm. But as we know, with technology and all of the advancements today, the electrical grid is huge. And actually, the more people you have on the grid, the better it works.
Oh, okay.
And the grid is the major concern.
Now, has there been discussions, let's go political, things on a congressional standpoint of preparing for this if it does happen? Is there a bill? Is there some proactive situations being discussed?
Now, I would think that people would be screaming at this point for them to do something politically. And they had the chance to strengthen the grid earlier this year, but they downed that bill. So they've had the opportunity to do it, but didn't take it. And they're saying that this will be one of the most intense cycles with the solar maxima since record-keeping began. And that was almost 400 years ago.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is. And NASA is putting out all kinds of information now, and they're saying we really need to pay attention to it. In January of this year, the National Academy of Sciences reported that a severe space weather event in the U.S. could bring about a ground current that could knock out 3 key transformers in the span of 90 seconds.
And what are the size of the transformers?
To put it into perspective, because it doesn't sound like a lot, but it takes an entire year to produce 20 transformers. And that's having all of the electricity and all of the supplies in a non-crisis situation. So you can imagine being in a crisis situation and trying to produce more transformers to replace the ones that have been out.
I mean, is there a projective blackout time for us?
It's never happened, so they really don't have a lot of projections at this point. But they're saying that if it happens, it could potentially cut power to 130 million people, and they could be without power for years. Up to 8 years, I think someone had mentioned.
Now, is it now when the solar storms come over? Is it a global or is it a regional? Like you said, it hit Quebec in 1989. So would it? Let's just use the East Coast for an example. Is it if we're far? I'm not a scientist, but if we're angled just the right way towards the sun on Eastern Standard Time, if you will, would it affect us, or does it kind of encapsulate a larger region than that?
Well, we don't know. It just depends on where the CMEs go when they go out. We have no idea at this point. Well-respected astrophysicist Michio Kaku, he compared this potential to a solar hurricane. So a vast amount of area could be affected. We just don't know where or when or if it's going to happen.
If you just popped in to 970, this is The Apple, and this is Disaster Recovery Hour. Your host, Chris Plunkett. We're speaking with Gina Davis. Gina is the National Education Director for Echo Blue, and we're talking about that the possibility of this solar storm that will be coming down the pike somewhere in 2012, possibly 2013. But we're not really talking about doomsday, but what we're talking about is being prepared if it does happen, because the product that Gina does educate many people throughout the country and also through the Internet and the Twitter and such is a water filtration system that is able to extrapolate moisture and convert it into drinkable water, which is fantastic. It's surprising it hasn't been invented before. So, Gina, if the storm happens, doesn't happen, it's still a good idea to have it, because God knows we do have the regular blackouts, or we do have Katrinas and or earthquakes. And if we are without power, these also have attachments of solar panels that can be attached to a roof or a garage or something. So that's primarily the driving force behind the event. If something does happen, like I said, this show is all about being prepared. So when you're educating, I understand you just got into this position, but I know you've been educating on other areas. So when you discuss this situation with people, is it being prepared, or is it, listen, something bad's going to happen and you better be prepared? Or is it more of a calming situation?
We're not saying that something definitely will happen, but what we're saying is it's best to be prepared in any situation if it does. Of course, you wouldn't want your family to have potable drinking water if there were a disaster, and you never know when something is going to happen. It's bad enough we have to worry about hurricanes and flooding and all of the chemicals that are in our water now, but now we're having to worry about these NASA reports saying that 2012 we could essentially have a solar hurricane and lose power for years. Mm. It's not a situation that you want to be in without water that your family can drink.
Right. Now, let's use a family of four, which is always that yardstick that America always uses when a family of four earns X amount of dollars. What's a family of four? What do they drink on a daily basis with there's no restrictions on drinking? And what would it what would the system you said brings out eight pints an hour? What was the figure again?
It produces up to 8 gallons of water a day.
Oh, 8 gallons.
Depending on how much humidity you have in your area.
Mm-hmm. So now, if it's a Southwest and it's hot, but it's not humid, is there a way it can generate? Does it have a refrigeration device that can create humidity?
You can connect the unit to your tap water mm-hmm. or to any spigot, and it will produce unlimited amounts of filtered clean water.
So, Gina, now up here in the Northeast, you have a lot of multi-dwelling buildings, you know, New York City, over here on the river in the Jersey side, you have anything. Pretty much the view of New York City is also starting to grab a lot of high rises. So individually, you have 200, 300 units in a building. This system could generate 8 gallons of water a day, could you scale it back to make it less?
It'll produce as much as you want it to produce.
Okay, so storing that wouldn't be a major issue because you can't, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. So you could scale it back. You could monitor it.
Absolutely. It will make as much as you want it to make. If you need to make more for a larger family of four, I have four kids, so I have a little bit more than I, but someone with, just maybe one child wouldn't want to produce as much.
Right. So, because some of the buildings in New York City, some of the older buildings, they have their own water towers. Not a whole lot, but there's still a few left out there. You could almost kind of tap that into, because it feeds the whole building. You would actually, so it's almost like selling energy. Some of the, with the solar panels up here in the New York and New Jersey area, they actually sell back their energy to the power companies. So it would almost be like a barter system by generating the water. Now, can you also do that on a management standpoint? So if numerous people in the building don't have this system, the management could be generating, could they actually generate more? Is there bigger units for like commercial wise?
Yeah, actually, we have commercial units that are bigger, do some more, and they can be set up in the larger apartment complexes and building structures.
Wow, that would be the city would have a great market for that. And now, what's the capacity on those? How much is that able to generate drinkable water?
We actually sell different ones, but they range around 200 liters per day and up. Just depending on what size unit you get.
So, what are the costs involved?
The smaller unit, the 28, it's around $999, and then the 30, it starts a little over $1,000.
So that would be so over $1,000 for the unit, but God knows, it'd be a very large commodity in a time of dire need. So I guess you actually could set the unit up if you lived in an apartment. You could set it up in a closet and try to, the hose attachment and it weeps out the water. Is that basically how it works?
Well, it's the size of a basic water cooler without the bottle on top.
Okay.
So you can set it anywhere in your home you like, but we do have some colors, so they're very attractive. If you want to place them in your kitchen or somewhere, they're not a bad-looking product. They look fabulous in your home, and they work wonderfully.
Now, I was asking before if you lived out west and it wasn't was a dry atmosphere, if you will. Now, if you can't tap into water, like you said, a spigot or a faucet, and you do live out west, how would you generate that the water then?
Well, they'll still generate water. It won't be at the larger quantity.
Okay, so just a slower producing amount of water.
Right.
We're going to go to a break. This is Chris Plunkett, Disaster Recovery Hour, here at the Apple, and be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. I want to say thank you to Gina Davis, who is the National Director of Education for Echo Blue with the water filtration system. Go check out her website. She gave all the details before. I've been doing this for a couple of months now, and it's been a good. We've got some good reception to the show. We do now have a comments and questions page, and I did answer some of them. But it's been a busy week. I had a couple of emergencies / disasters, but I'd like to address some of these things. I know we got a guy, Arthur, called in regarding he listened to the podcast from the ham radio, I agree. I think the service is fantastic. And you know what? A volunteer that goes out in the middle of the night or travels hundreds of miles to facilitate information for the better good of his countrymen, if you will, his fellow American, the fellow citizens, is I always think this country is fantastic. We don't the volunteers and the good stories never get enough press. I guess it doesn't sell papers like the old ways. So with the ham radios, you know, John Grimendi, he was very informative. Like I said, he's a master of his trade. Again, you can go on the website, my website, cppems.com, and check out his email address, and not his email address, excuse me, but his website. One of the other questions we had on here was a guy named Fred. He writes in there that the pipe burst above him in an apartment building. This place is being renovated, and he suffered some water damage. And this is kind of the things that happen frequently in the New York City area. And it's not about the people above, because they really don't receive that much water. It's the guy below who gets hit, or the people below who get hit pretty hard. So his question to me was, even though it was a while ago, could there be a possibility of mold? Yeah, definitely could be a possibility of mold. I mean, in between floors, whether if it's a slab floor, you're not going to see mold growth most likely, unless there is some form of synthetic spray paint on it, which kind of bubbles up behind it, which will lead me into my next question from another listener. So, but he asked if he should do anything about it. Is it too late? It's never too late. You can just say, listen, so an incident happened. Call your insurance company or tell your manager. Sometimes the management companies don't even know. But you can call your claims hotline and tell them, listen, the person above had water damage. I don't see anything particularly right now, but you never know, in the future there could be an issue. Remember, it doesn't cost anything to place a claim. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, some of the people in the Brooklyn area were not calling their insurance companies, and they still had trees on their home. So, again, it doesn't cost anything. But also, can you have possibility, you know, his question was regarding the mold. There's always a possibility. Water damage is always going to be a possibility of growing a mold. So I told him, to reach out for me, and if we need a physical inspection, to take a look at that and, put him in the right direction. One of the other ones, questions a guy named Rich, and he talked about another water damage scenario. His question was more directed towards Kevin, or my guest from last week from Premier Drying Solutions. We, in the trade, we use an infrared camera. It's able to see different degrees of temperatures and the coolings and the hots, and determine of what the moisture content is inside blockwork, drywall, plaster, not so much soft goods. But his question was, he's got crumbling around the block in his basement, and he's got a waterproofing finish on it, and it's starting to bubble and crack and so on and so forth. He's asking if there's moisture behind there. There's definitely moisture, because there's a moisture content in cement block work. I think the moisture levels are somewhere around 10 to 12%, I think that could be it. I do so many moisture reading tests, it's mind-boggling. So the question was, there's bubbling on the outside of this block. It's actually not the block itself as much as it's the paint that the water has gotten into, and now it's starting to bubble. So that's and is it moldy? It's not really a mold as much as it's an eyesore. Okay, so it could be easily remediated with, it's a bleach compound. Cut water with bleach, wipe it off, get the gloves on. You should always have the paper mask on, because some people are asthmatic, and some people, their capacity for breathing is not as, I'm not a doctor, but I just over the years of noticing people and what they're allergic to, or what they can handle, what they can't handle, get a paper mask. You can buy that at any hardware store. And rubber gloves, high-density rubber gloves, not the small plastic like surgical gloves. I'd rather go with the full rubberized glove. So if that helps Fred out there, if it helps Rich, I did confer with Kevin, just so you know, if you are listening today. And it's not necessarily the camera's going to be picking it up as much as it's a treatable response to what you have down there. This is a Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm Chris Plunkett. If you got any questions you want to ask me, you can go to my website, cppems.com. I'm reading off some of the questions right now. Website's got the comment and question section. Also, you could listen to past podcasts and throw in a question that pertained to, you know, last month or a month and a half ago, whichever it may be, or 2 months. I can't remember now how long it's been, which springboards me right into the next question is by Wendy. Wendy must have been listening to the my Haitian friend Daniel Andre is the president of the Haitian civic organization of Patterson. He had a lot of information for me, and it's a funny thing because Wendy's asking about, you know, there are government services out there, but I think like most disasters, you know, you have the Katrinas and you had 9/11. After a while, you know, everyone goes back to normal, or if there is a sense of normalcy. I don't personally, because this is the world I live in. So I never actually forget downtown. I never forget Katrina or when I did the hurricanes down in Florida. So it's part of my decision making on a daily basis and how I can bring things and make things applicable to my situations. So but Wendy said, there are many families in Haiti still living in tents during the hurricane season, and Katrina victims are still suffering. I understand all those things. It's my opinion that things are getting better. Disaster response is getting quicker, but there still needs a lot of room for improvement. I think there is a lot of room for improvement. Again, this is my experiences, my opinion, and they're mine, and that's why this is a great country, because I have opinions and I can express them. But, you know, on a grand scale, so it's my opinion that some of those things are just so large, there's so much you can do. I think sharing information services through, like I said, the big party, you know, the world is so small now with electronics and the transportation availabilities of ships and planes and dropping off supplies. I think it could be done a little better, but there's also a lot of red tape. You know, I think I was asking Daniel, the president of the Haitian Civic Organization of Patterson, about if there's money donated, how much of that money is actually going to the victims, you know? So, there's gas, there's insurances, there's people who need to pay their bills who are manning the phones, or they're out there taking information from the people who are now without and living in tents, and they need to get addresses and family members' names. So that eats up time, and, you know, not everything can be done on a volunteer basis. So, I really enjoy the comment page. It's pretty cool. Yeah, and go back to my old podcast and ask me some questions, or, you know, regarding this situation with the Echo Blue, the water filtration system. This is a Disaster Recovery Hour. I've been your host for the last hour. So, wrapping up the show, so there's a lot of interesting things out there, on the being prepared side. Gotta pound that home. Being prepared. Very informative on that, the water filtration system. Let me tell you something, we'll be scrambling if we need water. Neighbor by neighbor, right? So, this is Chris Plunkett. I'm the host of your show. I'm every Saturday, 7 a.m. in the morning on the Apple 970. And God bless the country, and bring home the kids. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, from CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. You can reach Chris by calling 201-483-8953. And don't forget to tune in every Saturday morning at 7 for the Disaster Recovery Hour, right here on AM 970, The Apple.